And now, the Academy for the Fine Arts and Frederick County Public Schools present Suspense. Today we bring you Amara Opon and Micah Pollock in Backseat Driver, a suspense play, produced and directed by Aaron Henry.
Do you have an artistic eye? Do you get up and dance whenever you have a chance? Is music your thing, or can you not help but sing? If you are looking for an artistic space, then the Academy for the Fine Arts is that place. With programs in art, dance, music, theater, and more, you'll have no idea what your future has in store. Offering classes to students in grades 10 to 12, the Academy for the Fine Arts is a thriving educational arts community that inspires students to nurture their craft through unique enrichment experiences. Rigor and collaboration prepare these artists to pursue their post-secondary experience, employ art for the benefit of their communities, and cultivate an intrinsic curiosity. For more information, go to www.fcpsartsacademyfcps.org. And now, the Academy for the Fine Arts presents an old tale turned anew, guaranteed to keep you in suspense.
It can't happen to you. You read about stuff like that in the papers. The girl is murdered and mutilated. Drunks left lying in the gutter for the handful of change they had in their pockets. Lonesome old man tortured because some hoodlum gets the idea that they're misers, with a pot of gold hidden under the floorboards of the shack. Sure, you know it's real, but it can't happen to you. Oh, you get your fair share of trouble. I've been a professional man here in Los Angeles for 30 years. I've met up with bums and grifters and petty sharpers. They're around in any business. But the viciousness? The real, deep-down dirt, that's for somebody else. For you, it's mostly routine. You do your work and you go home to your family. And for a real bang-up evening to break the monotony, you take your wife out to a movie. That's what I did Saturday night. We'd driven all the way in from San Fernando Valley to Beverly Hills for a picture Ellie specially wanted to see.
Wasn't that a good movie, Joe?
Uh-huh.
Just the kind I like. Songs and dancing and girls in pretty clothes. I just get so tired of cops and robbers.
What's wrong with cops and robbers?
Oh, you know what I mean. Murder movies, honestly. All the policemen are stupid and all the crooks sneering out of the corners of their mouths.
Yeah, those stuff those Hollywood boys dream up. You'd think the streets were knee-deep in blood, and you couldn't hear yourself think for machine guns. Well, here we are, honey.
You get in first.
Okay. All right, Ellie?
Just a second. All right, Joe. Don't forget gas.
Got plenty to take us out the valley. I'll fill up the bills.
Remember how that song goes, Joe?
What song?
In the picture, you know, Defying Gravity. The one the main character sang.
Oh, that one. Let's see. Heck, I don't know.
Oh, well. Well, we're hearing it again on the radio. How about turning it on?
The radio?
Yeah.
Why, sure. Set her around 1100. You ought to get to some news in a few minutes. I'd like to hear whether they caught that fellow.
That awful mass murderer?
Uh-huh. They spotted him in L.A. this afternoon, but he got away.
I know. He told us at supper. It makes you shiver.
Don't worry. He won't get away with it. We left the lights of Beverly Hills behind and turned into Coldwater Canyon. It's as quick a way as any to get us across the Hollywood Hills to the valley. It's a dark in the canyon. Quiet, with mighty little traffic at night. I cut my lights up to full, and we swept up the side of the ridge. The news program came on, but I didn't pay much attention. The fellow was talking about brush fires. They'd already put out one near my place, though they were still patrolling it. We were over the ridge and sliding down to the valley before the program got to the part I wanted to hear.
There it is!
Put it up higher, Ellie.
The latest news on the New Hampshire murderer. 2 weeks ago, Lewis Matrick wiped out an entire family in Greenlee, New Hampshire. Today, he was spotted 3,000 miles from the scene of his crime. At 5:30 this afternoon, a patrolman saw him and identified Matrick in downtown Los Angeles. However, by darting through heavy traffic at the risk of his life, the killer was again able to make his escape. According to neighbors of the slaughtered family, Matrick first appeared in Greenlee about a year ago. From fingerprints in the Noland home, Louis Matrick has been identified as Lloyd Matthews, ex-convict. He's wanted for questioning in the robbery and murder of a New York storekeeper a year ago, a crime that netted the killer less than $20. Matrick, or Matthews, is 32 years old, height 5 feet 9 inches, weight 155 pounds. He has blue eyes, light brown hair, nose slanted to the left. When seen this afternoon, he was wearing a blue suit and a gray pork pie hat. He...
Awful. Awful.
Not pretty, no.
And he's somewhere around LA this minute. Joe?
Mm-hmm?
You think it's right, us leaving Annie and Bud all alone while we...
Now, Ellen, Annie's growing up and Bud's a smart youngster, if I say so myself. You can't wrap kids in cotton wool.
I know. Oh, I'm silly. Neighbors close all around. All they'd have to do is yell. But what make a young man do such a dreadful thing like that?
Could be a lot of things. Maybe he's got screws loose. Maybe he went nuts over the girl. Maybe he gets a kick out of killing. Like some of them.
You know all the answers, don't you?
Joe?
What the?
Keep going. Dawn, keep going. I got a gun here and I'll use it. Tell him, you...
Ellie?
Against the back of my neck. I can feel it. Cold.
Well, you're gonna move?
Okay. Okay. Brother, you're the boss.
You said it. I'm boss. And remember it. Otherwise, I'll blow a hole through your wife's head. I've had experience in these things.
Saturday nights, prime time. Not just on television, but on the radio too. I often listen to the big broadcasts on NPR. It is so nice to turn on the radio and be transported to a whole new world. And I always wanted to be among the airwaves myself. Well, with the generic Radio Workshop's radio kits, now I can. A radio kit contains everything you'll need except actors. Each radio kit is shipped to you with all the materials you need to produce a 30-minute or 60-minute recreation of a classic radio show from the golden age of radio. It's so easy. A buffoon like me can do it. Interested? Head right on down to genericradio.com/radiokit. That's genericradio.com/radiokit. And now, we return to the Academy for the Fine Arts presentation of Suspense.
I drove that car like we were skirting the edge of the Grand Canyon, with nothing between us and the bottom but a mile of country air. This was it, the thing that happens to other people, to the ones that end up on slabs in the morgue, but not to me, not to Ellie. The first car we'd seen since we left traffic swooped down behind us. It passed. But not before headlights caught our passenger clean in my rearview mirror. He was hunched forward, sitting on the edge of the back seat so he could keep the gun rammed into the nape of Ellie's neck. He had light brown hair, pale eyes, a nose that slanted. His mouth twitched, jittery. As the car went by, his eyes caught mine in the mirror and flickered.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Sure. Lose your hat?
Right, boy. Like I said, you know all the answers. Nah, I didn't lose it. I stuffed it down a drain.
Still wearing the blue suit, though.
I figured it'd change pretty quick. Think yours will fit me?
You can have the suit in the car. Just let us...
Ellen.
Joe, it's Matrick.
The missus is bright, too.
He crawled in here while we were at the movie. Joe, you ought to have had that car door fixed. You know better.
Honey, I meant to. I was going to tend to it tomorrow.
Shut up! See if you can both be bright enough to keep your trap shut. Turn left on Ventura. Take the slow lane. Don't try playing no tricks. I've been in this burg before.
Okay, by me.
That's real white of you. Straight out to the open country, Mac. Then I'll take the missus up on that offer of the suit and car.
What happens to us?
Why, you just walk home. What else? Play it safe and you ain't got a thing to worry about.
That was a laugh, that was. That'd kill you. Once we got out into the open country, we didn't have a chance of walking away from the car. All a murderer can hope for is time. He doesn't leave witnesses around to get the law on his tail 1 second sooner than necessary. All I could do was stall, and pray, and make what feeble gestures I could at Lady Luck. The thing that came into my mind was so risky, it brought my hair up on end. But there was a chance provided that trigger finger didn't start jerking. In the bright lights of the boulevard, I didn't think he'd notice, but a traffic officer would. I turned into Ventura and took the far lane, obedient as a whipped pup. But I hadn't dimmed my headlights. They were up blinding full. He must have made 2-3 miles before I heard it.
What's that?
Huh? Oh, the siren. Why, an ambulance, I guess. We heard a lot of them here in.
That ain't no ambulance, it's a motorcycle cop.
Joe, it's young Mike Kennedy. He patrols this stretch.
What are you up to? What are you trying to pull?
Nothing. The kid's a friend of.
Think you can get me easy, huh? I warned you, I ain't going alone. You asked for this.
Listen, will you? The kid lives near us, practically grew up under our feet. All he wants is to pass the time of day, or maybe send a message to our Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You start popping now, and we'll all be dead. Keep your shirt on, and I'll get rid of him.
Okay. But it better be good.
I pulled to the curb, and Mike came up alongside. He sat, balancing the bike between his knees. And the grin on his face was a mile wide. It had worked. At least, we were still alive and Mike wasn't 2 feet away. But where did we go from here? I had to think, but my brain was wet wool. My tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth.
Well, what do you know? If it isn't Uncle Joe.
Something funny, kid?
After all the times you've read us the Riot Act about observing the letter of the law. Oh, brother, wait till I tell Annie.
Mike Kennedy, what is the matter with you? I didn't notice anything wrong.
Hi, Aunt Ellie. Nothing much the matter. Just Uncle Joe here, proceeding sedately out the boulevard, with his headlights up full.
Headlights? By golly, that's right. I must have forgotten to dim them.
You oughtn't to forget these things. Someday, a big, bad cop might come along and haul you off to the state. Hey, is that Annie back there?
No. No, it isn't.
It's our new neighbor, Mr. Anderson.
That right? Glad to meet you, sir.
Hello.
I didn't know there were any vacancies out our way.
There weren't until recently. Mr. Anderson has taken the Charles place.
The Charles place? Are you kidding?
Nope. Looks like things got too much for old man Charles. At last, he's clearing out for good.
Kinda sudden, wasn't it?
I guess so.
Well, that's too bad. For old man Charles, I mean. Mighty nice for Mr. Anderson, though. Good places are hard to find these days. Alright, Uncle Joe. I'll let you off this time. Give my love to Annie.
Mike.
Watch it.
Yes, sir?
Nothing. Just come see us soon, boy. Always glad to have you.
Thanks. I'll be around my next night off. Got a date with Annie. So long.
That was that. Mike turned his bike and headed down the boulevard. The chance had come and gone, but it felt like to me, half my mind went with the boy, yelling at him. It must have been half a minute before I could pull myself together and ease back into traffic. Nobody said anything. I didn't dare to, and neither did Ellie. I couldn't see her, but I could feel her holding herself as stiff as a ramrod, scared even to turn her head. When two people have lived together as long as we had, each one knows what the other's thinking. I went back to driving and praying. That, and cutting my eyes up to the mirror, just in case there might be a white motorcycle eye following us. There wasn't, of course. Back in the back, I knew he was watching too. These flickering eyes, darting like lightning between us and the rearview window. He was too busy checking to talk. Not that that helped much. Rage and fear were pouring out of him so thick, you could have grabbed a hunk of the atmosphere in your hand. It was odd to drive alongside that crowded highway. Traffic streaming both ways. Lights from drugstores and cocktail joints and eating houses blazing to the sky. And no, if I lifted a finger for help, it'd sign our death warrants. It had to be luck. All luck. And there was still a chance I'd get it. The way I'd figured it, we'd started out with just enough gas to get us back to Bill's station. When we hit that, the meter ought to show empty. The gas gauge was hidden from me by the rim of the steering wheel, but I was pretty sure I was right. I waited until I saw red and green lights above Bill's pumps a block and a half away. Then very slow and easy, I slumped over for a peek at the gauge. I leaned just too far.
Sit up.
Sure.
What now? What were you looking at?
I was just easing the crick out my neck.
Yes, you was. You was looking at the dash. So that's it. Fresh out of gas.
Look, I just remembered it.
Don't give me that. You remembered it, all right. Knew it all along. From now on, you keep your hands on the wheel, Mac. But leave me to do the driving. Turn into that filling station. Get high test gas and fill her up.
Hiya, Joe. Evening, Ellie. Evening, sir.
Hi, Bill.
Up to the top?
Yeah, Ethel.
Ethel it is. Here you been to the pictures?
Uh-huh.
You people know everybody in the whole damn valley?
We've lived here 30 years. From back when this was farmland. Of course we know lots of people.
I don't like it. Get the gas and get out.
Say, I was up to Miranda's for supper.
That's right.
Boy, her chili gets better every time. Don't see how it can, but it does. She's saving some for you. Said you'd be round after the show.
Oh my. I saw Miranda this afternoon and told her we'd be by for sure, Joe.
That'll be $3.50 on the nose.
$3.50. Thanks, Bill.
Same to you.
What was that all about?
Nothing much.
Come on. I gotta ask you everything twice.
Miranda runs a drive-in up the road a ways. On show nights, we usually drop in for a carton of chili to take home.
I just hope she won't call home when we don't show up and get Annie all worried.
Wait a minute. Drive-in, you said?
Yeah.
And this Miranda could start checking on you.
Why, I didn't mean it like that. It's just...
She could call you Annie, and between the two of them, they'd have the cops on the lookout for you before midnight.
You're crazy.
Like a fox! I ain't kept ahead of the buttons all this time by taking chances. We'll just pick up that chili, Matt.
You want me to go to Miranda's?
Why not? Leave Annie to get a beauty sleep. I can cover a lot of ground before tomorrow morning. And I ain't eating so good lately, but what I could use the food too. And with you and the missus to front for me, what's to worry about?
He was right about that. I went back to driving and praying. Miranda's place is one of those goldfish bowls, mostly glass with light pouring out across the space marked for outside service. She saw us pulling up, grabbed a quart carton off the back shelf and hustled to the door.
Here you are, Ellie. I was just saying to Betsy, better fix up that chili, Betsy. It's about time Ellie and Joe is showing up figuring the distance from Beverly Hills. Who's that in the back seat? I don't seem to recollect your face, young man, though anybody I'll tell you, I never forget a face.
This is Mr. Anderson, Miranda. He just came out here from the east.
Is that a fact? Say, Joe, you planning to go straight up Ventura at home?
Why, sure.
Don't you do it. Go the back way, even if it does take longer. Of course, the brush fire between here and your place is out, but there's still 50, 60 men patrolling it.
What's that?
But that ain't nothing to what's going on further out the valley. That new fire's clean out of control, licking up hundreds of acres. They've been sending truckloads of firefighters past all evening in the roads they've blocked for miles, they tell.
The roads blocked?
For miles, they tell me. And all them poor ranchers losing their homes. Being from the east, you wouldn't understand, but brush fires is awful things once they get out of.
Thanks. Start moving. We'll take the back way to your house.
To our house?
What say? You staying with Ellie and Joe?
Yeah, till the road is... until I can get into my own place. What are we waiting for?
Night, Miranda.
Well, goodbye. Be sure you come see me, Mr. Anderson. I'll be looking for you.
So there it was. We weren't going to the country. We weren't going to be left to rot at the foot of a cliff or buried deep in brush. No, we were going home. Home to the kids, and taking a murderer with us. I still couldn't see Ellie, but I could feel her tensing up, tight as a pulled drawstring.
Mr. Matrick, you didn't mean what you said, did you? About coming home with us?
You know a better place I can hide out till the road's open?
But it wouldn't be safe. We've got neighbors close all around.
Nobody will see me. Nobody better.
Joe, couldn't we get around the fire?
Yeah, that'd be better. We could try. There are roads through the valley. Listen, Matrick, who knows around and find a way through somehow?
Cut it out. You heard the old biddy. Hundreds of acres burning. Firefighters, cops. Get off the highway. We're going home.
No, I won't have it. Joe, you stop this car right here.
Shut up.
You heard me, Joe. I won't have him in my house, not with Annie and Bud.
I
For
said
the Lord's
shut
sake,
up!
Ellie!
It doesn't matter about us, but the kids!
Ellie, please be quiet.
Oh, Joe!
Don't say another thing. I'm sorry, honey, but Matrick's the boss. We've got to do like he says.
That's telling her. Sure, do like I say and everything will be rosy. You got no call to worry about the kids. I like kids, as long as nobody gives me the brush off. We'll rout them out soon as we get home, and you and this Annie can fix up a chili supper for us. We'll have us a picnic. Then, soon as the fire's out, we'll all take a trip to the country. Another picnic, huh?
You keep going. As long as you're breathing, you keep going. Even when it looks like there's no way out, you hang on by your toenails. We poked up and down those Black Valley streets that twist and turn and sometimes wind up in dead ends. Ellie stopped crying after a while. She slumped down with her head on the back seat, limp as a rag doll, with the stuffing leaked out. It took a long time, but it had to come to an end. I saw the bulk of the house looming up. There was a light sneaking around the edge of the blinds up in Annie's room. She wasn't asleep after all. She'd be sitting up in bed, maybe plastering red stuff on her fingers and dreaming about the date with Mike. Bud's room was dark. He'd be wrapped up in covers like in a cocoon and dreaming. Whatever boys dream, I couldn't remember. I pulled up to the concrete walk I poured before there was any Bud or Annie, and cut the lights. In a second or two, my eyes got used to the dark. I could make out the high hedge Ellie planted around the place and the roof rising up beyond it.
Out, missus. Face the house. Now you, Mac. Slide out the same side. Stand beside her. Walk to the door. Slow, and no funny business. I'm right behind you.
down, Joe!
Down, Ellie!
What? I'll kill you! I'll kill... Ah!
Hold him, boys.
It's okay, Mike. I got him.
You all right, Uncle Joe? Aunt Ellie?
Ellie. Honey, are you all right?
All right, indeed. Smacked flat up my face on a concrete walkway and you falling on me!
Nothing wrong with her.
That's my girl.
Well, don't just stand there. Help me up. I've got to get in the house before the kids come busting out here. I won't have them mixed up in this.
Well, how's he doing, boys?
Got him through the gun hand and the right shoulder, see?
A lucky shot, copper. If you weren't lucky, you'd all be cold meat now.
Patrick, isn't it, Uncle Joe?
That's him. Miranda described him to you.
The old girl doesn't miss a trick. She even knew you were taking the back way home. You left a clear trail, Uncle Joe. Slick work.
I had to get him out of the car before the fireworks started. Ellie didn't stand a chance. She helped, though. Ellie catches on quick.
Yeah?
I mean, a guy like Matrick, make him think you don't want to do something, and he'll break his neck doing it. I let on I was trying to run out of gas. That got us to Bill's. Then we both made out there was no sense going to Miranda's, so we got bullied into going Miranda's. It was 1,000 to 1. She run off at the mouth about the brush fires and scared him into hiding out. After that, all Eddie had to do was turn on the hysterics. He was dead set on coming here.
Right, boy. Like I said.
Bright enough. You did all right too, Mike. I was watching the rear view mirror all the time you were trailing us, but you never showed.
You know, I was there, though. When one officer starts double-talking another officer, he wants to know why.
Officer? Double-talk? You never said a thing to him. Except I bought some place out here.
The Charles place.
Poor old man Charles. In a tough spot and moving out for good.
And what's wrong with that?
Matrick, didn't anybody ever tell you it wasn't smart to take up with strangers? Maybe I'd better introduce myself. The name's Charles. Joe Charles, detective. Homicide. Tonight I was off to duty. Just take my wife to a movie.
Wow, fantastic job, you two. If we had a live audience, I'm sure they would be cheering. Now, why don't you both introduce yourselves?
I'm Amara, and a third year in the AFA Theater Focus, and I play Joe.
Hi, I'm Micah, and this is my second year in the AFA, but first year in the Musical Theater Focus. Oh, and I play Ellie.
Wonderful. So, what were both of y'all's favorite parts about this?
I think my favorite part was probably just getting to do voice acting, because I've never really done that, and that's something that I've wanted to explore for a while now, so I think getting to do that was probably my favorite part.
I have to say also the same thing, getting to voice act. I'm not really good at speaking, so this was kind of a pain for me, low-key, but then also, the ending, like... Because low-key, I didn't read the ending. So sorry, Aaron. I just skimmed through, a lot of this stuff. And, even right before I came here. But I just did not get around to the ending. So, boom. The reveal. I knew I was a detective. But, that reveal, I loved it so much.
All right. Great. Great, y'all. All right. We've got one more thing to do, though. We got one last thing. All right? I need y'all to say one specific word. You know what? Let's get everyone around here. Everyone come over. Thanks, everyone, for making this capstone a success. I hope you all enjoyed this thrilling tale of...
Suspense!
This suspense play starred Amara Opon as Joe, Micah Polak as Ellie, and Craig Martin as Matrick. Additional voices included Leo Dalton, Zolani Robinson, Daniela Cañas, and Davis Phillips. Backseat Driver was written by Sally Thorson, with music composed by Lucien Morawek and conducted by Lud Glutskin. The entire production was under the direction of Aaron Henry. Special thanks to Caitlin DeLong, Jonathan Kurtz, and the Generic Radio Workshop. And to you for listening all this way.
Just take my wife to a movie.
Ba-da, ba-da.
We're gonna have to redo that one.